Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers. Happy Father's Day. My dad is here, and Dad, I'd like to say a very special Happy Father's Day to you, and to thank you for being a, for being an example for me of a godly father, and in the way you lived, and as a husband, and in so many ways. I respect and appreciate you and love you very much, so happy Father's Day to you. And to all you dads, happy Father, I got to get off that topic quick. Happy Father's Day, we're glad you're here. Okay, that's done. If you're new this morning, welcome. We are really glad that, you're here with us this morning. We are in a series entitled The Truth About Relationships, and all summer long we are going to be looking at different relationships in the home, within the body of Christ, and in our community. And so this morning, we are going to look at, we're right in the home. Last week, we talked about the truth about relationships, specifically focusing in on husbands. And this morning, we are going to flip that coin, and we are going to talk this morning about wives. And we're going to look at areas where, this whole truth series is areas where God's Word and our culture, and where our culture may be pushing us, moving us, directing us, and where those two things may be in conflict with one another. And so this morning, the truth about relationships, specifically looking at wives. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians 5. We're going to start and just read verse 33, and then we're going to go backwards in a little bit. But Ephesians 5, verse 33, all of the texts will be up on the screen. And there it is, Ephesians 5, we're going to read verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. We dove into that last week in detail. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. As we talked about, men and women, husbands and wives, have some very basic human needs. Men need and want respect, and women need and want love. And we talked about this downward spiral that sometimes happens in a marriage, and this downward spiral can be big and dramatic, or it can be subtle and passive. But this downward spiral is one where a man may say, well, I'll give her love when she starts showing me some respect. And the woman then would naturally say, well, I'll show him some respect when he starts really loving me. And that begins, again, this downward spiral in marriage that ends far too often either being unhappily married, coexisting, so to speak, or, again, 50-plus percent of the time it ends with a divorce. And what we'll naturally, we can have a tendency to do is focus on what the other person is not doing. And so our natural thing will be, well, look at what my spouse is not doing, never taking responsibility for what we can do and focusing on what we are supposed to do. These 2 weeks are on this mystery of oneness, this spiritual mystery of a husband and a wife truly becoming one. Commitment in marriage, as we talked about, is great. It's very, very needed. But a oneness in marriage is a mystery, and it's a spiritual mystery. And I believe, and I made this proposition last week, and this is a really, maybe not such a popular statement, but I believe that it's true. To experience oneness, it's going to, at times, for both parties, feel like, do you remember? It's going to feel like death. There's going to be a part of us that is going to need to die for this oneness in marriage to truly come to life. So how are women portrayed in our culture? This was a little trickier for me. I think men are a little easier to peg, but I'm seeing more and more women portrayed, and of course Hollywood is one of the big ways that we see our portrayals of what culture really is saying. I think most women in our culture are seen as in control. In control either of their situation or in control of their relationship, or they're seen as very fearful of the future. I see a lot of ladies' wives portrayed as very sarcastic, or I see certain portrayed as beautiful and yet very dumb. Now, is that God's plan? And we talked last week, if you weren't here, we said men are portrayed in that similar light of being dumb or weak or as well. So, is this God's plan? Is this what God is desiring for us for marriage and this incredibly important role? I got to be honest with you for a moment. This message is a difficult one for me to talk about personally. I understand that it's not popular. Maybe a culture wouldn't tend itself towards this particular view of the role of wife. And I do believe with all of my heart that God created man. And I do believe God created woman. And I do believe that God gave us marriage as a gift. So in my mind, He does know best. And so even though this may not be culturally popular, I do believe with all of my heart, if God created all three of those things, then to experience the fullness and the oneness and the newness of life in marriage, we should follow His plan for it. Husbands and wives, love and respect. Let's open in a little word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this morning. God, we thank You for Your love, and we thank You for Your goodness. God, we thank You that many times, even though we don't understand all that life presents us, God, we thank You that You have us in Your hands, and You are still in control, and Your Spirit still dwells within us to be our comforter. And so, God, I would ask this morning that Your Spirit would be here with us, that You would speak Your words into our hearts and into our lives and into our minds. God, change us, mold us into Your image this morning. Father, we love You, relying upon You today to do Your work. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you are new this morning, we have a little green piece of paper inside your bulletin. That is for keeping notes, and there's little things that you can fill in. We're going to look at this morning three ways that a wife can show respect to her husband. Three ways a wife can show respect to her husband. Number one, submit to his God-given position. Number one, submit to his God-given position, his being the husband. Ephesians 5, let's go back up to verse 22. Ephesians 5, 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. To submit means to come under and obey in an orderly manner. Come under and obey in an orderly manner. I asked my wife if she would give this part of the message for me. I figured it may come better from a woman and from a wife. And so I asked her, just really honestly, I said, will you just come up and do this point one, please? And she very clearly said, no, thank you. And so then I pulled out the Bible and I said, you need to submit. It says it right here, Ephesians 5:22. I've memorized it and we have it as wallpaper up and around our bedroom. And I said, you need to submit. And so here I am. Very clearly giving this part of the message, and that didn't go so well. We need to remember it's never our responsibility to enforce the other person's responsibility. Husbands, it's never our jobs to enforce our wives' submission, never. And wives, just the same way, it's never your job to force us to love you. It's never our job. Are these verses from Ephesians 5, are these out of context, first of all? They're not. They're confirmed throughout Scripture. Genesis 3:16. I'm not going to read all these. If you care to write them down, you can. Genesis 3:16, Colossians 3:18, 1 Peter 3:1-6 confirm this idea of a wife submitting to her husband. This is not popular. I understand that. It's not the cultural norm. I understand that as well. But I believe with all of my heart it is half of the piece of the puzzle that can make this still work today, because God created man, God created woman, He knows best. As I said, for new life and for newness of life and oneness of life, it's going to feel like death. I believe this is the part that feels like death for ladies and for wives. So why submission? Why did God create this? Why would He have submission be such a significant part? I came up with a little list. I personally have 103 benefits to submission. Why? Okay, I have three. Three benefits that I saw to submission. Three things. Number one, it's the primary reflection of Christ and the church. Submission and love in its fullness of package is the primary reflection of Jesus and His church. As we talked about in Ephesians 5, marriage was created to represent Christ and the church. Husbands sacrificially love their wives as Christ sacrificially loves us. Wives are to submit to their husbands, His bride, as we do to Jesus. It is a reflection of something more spiritual and even greater. So perhaps submission is as much about representing Jesus as it is about us. Second reason I think God created submission. It is so unique, people will notice. It is so unique culturally, people will notice. This applies to both husbands and wives. Men, husbands, you understand this, I believe. There's nothing unique about a husband who loves himself. There's nothing unique about a selfish man who cares only about himself. There's nothing unique about locker room talk about his ball and chain. There's nothing unique about a man who's overly consumed with his job or his hobbies. There's nothing unique about that. That's normal. That's cultural. But you see a man that truly loves his wife, that shows her he loves her, that tells her he loves her, that talks about her in a positive way to his friends. You see a wife, you see a husband that sacrifices for his wife. Now that's unique. That will stand out. And I believe it's the same way for wives. There's nothing unique about a wife who's going to do what she wants to do when she wants to do it. That's not unique. That doesn't stand out. It's normal. And it doesn't reflect Jesus in the church. But you see a wife who truly respects her husband, who loves and respects and even comes under that position. Now that's unique. That stands out. And if you've seen that, and if you've experienced that, and if you've ever had the opportunity to see a husband who sacrificially loves and a wife who submits to her husband and respects him, that will stand out in any culture. People will notice and God will receive glory because it's a primary reflection of Jesus and the church. Number three, it shows, wives, that you trust God. When you submit, it shows that you trust God. I think the primary time when submission becomes an issue is when wives are convinced their husbands are wrong. Can I get an amen, wives? That's when it becomes an issue, when wives are convinced their husbands are wrong. When everybody agrees, there's no issues. But there will be times when there's conflict. Who's right? Who's wrong? Which way should we go? What should we do? So what happens when that happens? Is there a stalemate? Do we do nothing? Do we play the passive-aggressive role to try to get what we want without really telling what we want? Do we hold back on what the other person needs? Again, do we hold back in that downward spiral? Hold back love. Hold back respect. Hold back intimacy. Do we pull back? Submitting, I believe, is proving, wives, submitting is proving your trust for God and His plan because you are instantly out of control. And it's proving you trust God who gave Him this position. Wives, your husband, I just want to let you know this. Wives, your husband didn't invent this idea of submission. He didn't come up with it. It wasn't his creation. So don't get upset at him for it. It wasn't his plan. If it was his plan, husbands would not have written themselves in the die to self role. Because that's our job. Our job is to sacrifice all the way up to our very lives for our wives. If you didn't get last week's message or you weren't here, I'd encourage you to grab it because it makes this thing come full circle. It's as unnatural for a wife to submit to her husband as it is for a husband to be selfless. I believe it's as unnatural for both. It's as unnatural for a wife as it is for a husband. But the act of submission is a beautifully humble, life-giving act and completely necessary for the husband and wife to truly become one. Submit to his position in Christ. See, sweetie, that's all you would have had to do. We're already to point number two. Point number two, the second way a wife shows respect for her husband is to focus on true beauty. Number two, focus on true beauty. 1 Peter 3, we're going to read the first four verses. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. That's when a husband isn't doing what he should. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, we're going to focus on verses 3 and 4. Do not let your adorning, we're going to come back to that word, be external. The braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. That word adorning, the Greek word is cosmos. And sounds just like the word that we think of when we think of the outer space. And the picture is, cosmos means to put on or how someone is arranged. And so it becomes this thought that when God was arranging and beautifying the universe, that's where it takes us to. When he was putting the stars into their places and the galaxies and the solar systems, and he was putting it all there and beautifying, and our universe is beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. And so he was arranging all of that. He was adorning the universe. And what God is saying is when you are adorning yourself, think about these things. So our initial question becomes, is the braiding of hair, jewelry, and makeup wrong? Should we not focus at all on the outside of the cup? Well, I don't think so, because in addition, in this list, you can see the clothing that you wear. And so I think God is okay with us wearing clothing. Amen? Okay, so it's not necessarily just saying you can't do any of these things. You know, I heard a story of the ladies from Bayside, and this isn't too long ago. They were having a discussion, and they were discussing, is makeup okay to wear? Should ladies really be wearing makeup? And so they were going around the table kind of discussing this, and there was one of our super saints who was there, the lady who's been walking with Jesus for a long time, and just a really mature, godly woman. And I think she's here this morning, I'm not positive. But anyway, so all these gals were discussing this, and this mature gal, She got ready and she sat up to say something. And it's like all of the eyes, you know, they were discussing, should we wear makeup? Should we not wear makeup? And all of the eyes kind of just stopped for a moment and kind of looked at her, getting ready for this wisdom. And the answer was going, you know, that question was going to be answered finally. Should we wear makeup? And she sat up and she said, well, if the barn needs painting, you paint it. I don't think this text is talking primarily about the outside of the cup. It's talking about your focus. It's talking about priority. It's talking about the perspective. Don't make, and this can apply not just to wives, I think, but to ladies in general. God definitely, when he created woman, it was his finest, most beautiful masterpiece. And ladies, you're beautiful. But don't let that be your primary focus in life, the external beauty. Don't let that become something that you focus so heavily on that you forget that internal beauty that never fades. It never perishes. It's imperishable. It's hidden. It's an internal state. It's a quiet and a gentle spirit. Now, many times when I've read this, I've felt bad, I guess, for ladies who aren't, maybe their personality is not quiet and gentle. We need to remember something. This is not a personality trait. This is internal qualities. Not every lady is quiet and gentle. And he's not talking about that. He's talking about a state of contentment inside that is settled because of a trust in God. That's what he's talking about. A peaceful, a quiet, a spirit and a soul that is at rest because of a trust in God. It's not a personality trait. That's not what he's talking about. Show your husband's wives that you respect him by focusing on that internal true beauty. Proverbs 31, verses 29 and 30. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Wives, I want to encourage you with something. If your husband tells you you're beautiful, thank him. Husbands, keep telling them until they're convinced. Wives, don't say, boy, I'm not beautiful. I'm ugly. Don't say, I don't look like I used to look. No, I'm not beautiful. He may be saying something like, I appreciate how you look, but I also appreciate your inner beauty. He may be affirming who you are as much as how you look. Your husband may be seeing you through the eyes of Jesus. So when he says you're beautiful, say thanks. Accept it. As Christians, we know it can be difficult to see ourselves the way that Christ sees us, can it? It can be difficult, and so he affirms us consistently in his word who we are in him. And it can be very challenging to see ourselves the way Christ sees us. And yet what we must do and what wives must do is accept those words of affirmation from our husband. Number three, the final way a wife can show respect to her husband is by being a lifetime helper. Number three is being a lifetime helper. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The first man, the first woman, and the first marriage. Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. God didn't say again that man wasn't good. He just said he wasn't finished. God created the first woman to be the completion to the first man. Together, they were the part and the counterpart. We talked about all this last year in the truth about marriage. They were opposites that fit perfectly together. The first woman was made, she was created to be a fit and a help and an aid to the first man. So, how does a wife practically help? I created a little acronym. Again, you can see inside your sermon notes. This is the acronym of HELP. How does a wife practically help? I don't do this very often, but H, what is H? Be honest with him. Be honest. In all areas of relationship, honesty is key. Our culture lies. We live in a culture where honesty means very little to nothing. Honesty, if you can get away with lying in our culture, you should do it. Our culture would tell us, if it is to your advantage to lie, whether that's a big lie or a small lie, just lie. Our culture lies. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth, so we need to be truthful. When your husband asks you, is something wrong? And he will, because he's observant and he's watching. Don't say nothing's wrong when something's wrong. That's not honest. We need to be honest. Honesty in all areas of relationship is very, very key. You will help him by being honest. What's the E? Encourage him. Encourage him to be the best that he can be. I can honestly tell you, I could not do what I do if it was not for my wife. My wife encourages me to be the best me that I can be. I'm not always the best me that I can be, but she's encouraging me to be that. Wives, be an encourager for your wife or for your husband. Lift him up. Don't discourage him. Don't be a dream breaker. Men, we have dreams. We have things. We have this stuff that God is putting in our hearts or sometimes that we just want to do. Encourage him in that. God is going to at times give your husband a vision. He's going to give him something. You know, you need to do that. Be an encourager. Lift him up. Build him up. And if he's doing a good job in loving you, then encourage him in his hobbies in moderation. Encourage him with male friendships because we need that. We need those male friendships. We need those times of male bonding, fishing or hunting or golfing. There we go. Or even just hanging out with the boys. We need that. Encourage him in those things. What's the L? Loving reminders. We've talked about this before. Remind him of things without an attitude. Forget the attitude. Remind him. We do need reminders, don't we, men? Yeah. But don't nag him. Don't constantly rip on him for forgetting. Your husband will not remember all the things that you do. He just won't. Doesn't mean he's dumb. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. He's just focused and forgetful. That's what we are. We're focused and we're forgetful, aren't we, men? Yeah. Did you know that God will allow you to remember some things because He knew your husband would forget? He knew that, so He created you to remember. So don't get on Him for doing the thing that God created you to do. He knew men would just be focused, so then we'd be forgetful. He created us like that. Men are incredibly focused, but we don't remember all of the things that we need to remember. So then He gave us our wives to help us. Give them loving reminders. P. Now this one, yeah, this is praise Him. Some of the ladies in the office, I was going through this acronym, and they're like, I got a P for you. You polish Him. That's what you do with your husband. You polish him because he's so rough around all those. Okay, it's praise Him. Praise Him. I didn't say worship Him. I said praise Him. Congratulate Him. Commend Him. Admire Him. When you catch Him doing something good and right, tell Him about it. Appreciate Him for who He is and what He does for the family, because He's trying His best most often. Don't criticize His weak areas, because we all have them. If you focus on His weak areas, boy, you're going to have a lot of time to just dive right in there. We all have weak areas. We don't do it all right. But praise Him for the things He's doing very, very well. Don't hold past mistakes against Him, because we all make mistakes. We all do. Tell Him He's the man and show Him He's the man. If you have any questions about how to do that, ask Him. He'll have a list. That's not a problem. He needs to know that you appreciate Him, and He needs to know that He's doing a good job. And specifically, many times this relates to His work. His job is important to Him. Our jobs are important. They're a big part of who we are. Encourage Him in those things. Praise Him in those things. Lift Him up in those things. Be a practical and true help. We're going to end this morning with Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 12. Proverbs 31 is the end of it. The second half of it is a part of a text that is all about what's called an excellent wife. And I think many wives get very discouraged. And I don't know if there ever even was a Proverbs 31 woman, or if it is just this mysterious ideal that is put out there. I'm not sure. And wives, don't feel like Proverbs 31, you have to encompass the fullness of that, because I don't think that's a real person. But I think that is a goal to attain to. That is something to look to say, wow, if I could do and attain to something, I want to attain to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 12. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. And that is so very true. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Let's pray.